Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and let's open up to Acts chapter number 27 in the Word of God this evening. Acts chapter number 27 in the Word of God tonight. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now over the last several weeks looking at this passage of Scripture here towards the end of the book of Acts. And this is coming towards the end of Paul's journey, Paul's life, Paul's missionary journeys that we have recorded for us in the Word of God. And we've entitled this series, A Turbulent Journey. A Turbulent Journey. And just as Paul is embracing this turbulent journey that he is on, you and I are reminded here in the Word of God that we, in our final journey, in our final days here on this earth, we are going to face some turbulent times. And there is no doubt that if you keep up with Bible prophecy, we are closer now than we have ever been. And since Jesus Christ was resurrected some 2,000 years ago, from hearing the trumpet sound and being called up in the clouds with him, and what we're looking forward to that day, if you're looking forward to the day of Jesus sounding that trumpet, would you say amen? There's no doubt. We're excited and we can't wait to see our Savior face to face, but that day has not come yet. And you and I are still here, and we're still on this earth, and we face another Wednesday here, March 24th, 2021. And you and I have a journey that we're on. You and I are running a race. And we understand and we comprehend that as the closer that we get to Jesus Christ returning, that we are going to face some turbulent times. And there's great application that we have seen here in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27, that is really applicable for you and I living in the society, living in the culture, living in the year 2021. So as we look at Acts chapter number 27, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? If your health allows you to, would you please follow along as I read? And let's look at verse number 11 this evening. Acts chapter 27 and verse number 11, the Bible says this: "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." This evening, once again, I want to look at a turbulent journey. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, be with us this evening. Savior, I ask that you'd give me the words to say. Lord, I am so thankful, Father, that you've given us another day. Father, I don't know the hearts and the lives that even in this room that were lived today. Lord, it might have been a great day. A lot of sunshine, a good day at work, great day with the family. And we drove in and we were ready to receive God's word. Or perhaps, Father, the opposite is true. That even today was turbulent for someone in this auditorium. It was a bad day. Mechanical problems. Maybe house problems. Marriage problems. Maybe a teenager that's given an adult or a grandparent or a step-parent a hard time. Lord, maybe a teacher that had a frustrating day. A frustrating day in the factory with a boss or a manager. Father, whatever it is, Lord, we know that you're here with us. So, Father, we ask that you'd meet with us now. Lord, calm the heart. May we be awake in your word this evening. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, we began to go verse by verse through this passage of Scripture, and we saw, first of all, Paul's friends. And then secondly, we begin to concentrate last week on Paul's warning. Back up just a little bit with me and look at verse number 4. And let's run through several verses here very quickly. In verse number 4 of chapter 27, it says this: "And when they had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary." Remember, Paul's on this journey. He's now heading to Rome after 2 years, and he's going to face a trial here very soon. Verse number 5, "And when they had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia, and there a centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein." Verse number 7, "And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over to Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salome. And hardly passing it, it came to a place which is called the Fair Havens. nigh whereunto the city of Lycia. The weather here, understand once again, as we saw last week, as they were attempting to sail, is changing. This is late in the summer months, and it's not a good time to be sailing as they begin to head into this fall season. It's a very dangerous time. It must have even taken some time to find a ship that was willing to take them. Verse number 9 says this, "And when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said," verse number 10, "and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." Now, here's where we concentrate our time last week in Paul's warning. Remember, as Paul approaches them, he is a prisoner. It's not often that even a prisoner would be able to speak, but we do know that Paul is known here on this ship, and as he was let off at shore and was able to go visit with some friends, and historically speaking, that would have never taken place, being the prisoner, the really high-up prisoner that Paul would have been at this time. But they give him a moment here to begin to speak. Now, before, as we looked at last week, before we begin to think that Paul is some like some of those that maybe we have had in our past or maybe even have in our lives now, Paul here is not speaking out as maybe a know-it-all, as we would say it culturally speaking today. Paul is not speaking as though someone who is just being arrogant or perhaps even someone who is ignorant. We used the illustration last week, perhaps like someone that maybe we know in our life that has never raised kids before, and they haven't even been around kids very often, and yet they try to teach or try to tell someone who is raising kids or has some experience under their belt how that if they had kids, here's how they would be raising them, or actually here's what you need to be doing in raising your kids. It's kind of that no it all that maybe gets under your skin. Or we talked even a little bit about maybe for the coaches in here, whether it's middle school or high school, no matter if it's baseball or basketball or maybe even cheerleading or tennis or baseball or football, it doesn't matter what it is. Have you ever had somebody that, man, they're up in the bleachers, they're up in the stands, and they're yelling down and they're letting everybody know, you know, here's what they need to do to win the game. And, well, I'm just telling you, coach, put me in there. And I'm telling you, if I was in there, and they never played a bit of basketball in their life. They've never coached before, but buddy, they know it all. They've never been a pastor. They've never been assistant pastor, but here I'm telling you, here's how you run a church. Here's how you grow a church. Here's what you need to do. Or perhaps somebody that we've run into contact, I would say, now listen, I'm not marking anybody. I'm just saying all of us have experienced this past year someone who knows everything there is to know about the COVID-19 virus. Has anybody else run into those people? Don't say amen, but we're all thinking it. We all have a Facebook, and boy, there's the person on there that, buddy, they know it all. Here's what you need to buy. Here's what you need to do, and here's what you need to take, and here's how long you need to stay in, and they're not a physician. They're not a nurse. They've never been to medical school, but buddy, they read it on Facebook, and we all know that Facebook is always right. Amen. No, understand that what Paul is doing here is he's not acting like a know-it-all. He is not an amateur. He has already been at this time in two shipwrecks. He is not just sailed, but he has wrecked. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. "And they ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measures. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep." That means this. He understands the conditions. He has seen these clouds before. He knows what is about to take place. He has seen this doctor or this this darkness. He knows that this is not going to end well if they continue on this journey that they're going to continue on. Now, we took time last week, and I'm even kind of trying to stay close to the pulpit so we can move further on here, but I do want to say this, that we have to be careful in life that you and I are learning from others who have already shipwrecked. You and I must take the time to listen to those who have gone before. There is a massive movement here amongst our local churches in the United States to only take on what is new, or to only to listen to those who are young, or to maybe to accept something that just seems right at the time. Understand this. I said it last week, and I want to say it this week again. Read books from those who maybe lived in the 17th or 18th century. There seems to be something about those men and those women that had a heart for God. They knew what holiness was. They understood the precepts of God. They had been through their fair share of shipwrecks. I'm not saying that anything new is bad. Don't get me wrong at all. I'm not saying that we can't understand culture and the society we live in and the mission field, even here in Marion County. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is there have those who have gone before us, who have already raised kids that maybe we ought to glean from, who have been in ministry a long time that we can glean from, who have seen the dark clouds of society, who have seen this weather that we're going through, who have been through the turbulent storms. And it's people like that you and I ought to take some time to get to know, some time at sitting at their table, sipping a cup of coffee, asking some advice. Now listen, friend, as we saw last week, it's not for you and I to be this type of busybody in the church. Well, that means I've got a sheriff's badge and I'm going to go through and I'm just going to start checking out what everybody's doing. You know what? I've been there before. I need to talk to them. I've been there before. I need to talk to them. I've been there before. I need to talk to them. That's not it at all. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't need a sheriff's badge, but we do need this. We do need to understand that getting involved in somebody's life is not always judging, but we ought to look at it as a mentorship. We ought to look at it as caring for each other. And may I say today, friends, in a world where everybody knows what everybody else is eating and what everybody else is wearing and what everybody else wants to share on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and all the other ones out there, in that day and age when we already know everybody else's business, you and I ought to be investing in each other spiritually, friend. And there's some in this room this evening that you have seen the clouds. This is not anything new to you. The politics that's taking place to the millennials and below, this is brand new to them. They have not experienced what you have experienced with other administrations. You know what they need from an older generation is not doom and gloom and it's over and oh my goodness and I just can't believe it. Friend, let me just put it this way, and I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, but I do want to say it. Listen, President Biden nor President Trump is our Savior. Jesus Christ is. And it doesn't matter who's sitting up there. Well, I heard executive orders coming in place, and I know this, and I'm just telling you, you know what's taking place down south of this. Yeah, we know it. Listen, friend, comprehend this. It's not a political speech, y'all. It's not red, it's not blue. What I'm pushing tonight is this, that there are some of you that have seen this storm before. You have weathered it with other administrations. We don't need the doom and gloom that it's over. What we need is to proclaim that Jesus Christ is still seated on the throne. He's still the God of this world. He's still in the saving business, and it's going to be okay. Yeah, but what if they shut schools down? Yeah, but what if they do? But what if they start coming in and telling the pastor what to do? Well, if that time comes, friend, it's better to obey God than man. It's still in the Word of God. We're going to be okay. Well, how do you know, Pastor? Well, the book says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's that book that we just sang. Did we not just always the same? Always the same? Understand? Yes, from one administration to the next. Yes, from one strand of coronavirus to the next. Yes, from one society to the next. Yes, from one scandal to the next. Yes, look, the world is ever changing, but friend, our Bible never changes. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The missionary's name, Pastor Chris, that we just, Pastor Dan, you just spoke of. Let's say it one more time. The tongues. The tongues. Can I just tell you, if you really want to start, now, I'm not meddling, I'm just saying, if you and I really want to draw closer to Christ, get some of the missionary letters and start reading them for a little bit. And I'm telling you what, it puts this old boy in his place. What I complain about, what I think about, what I'm just upset about, what I'm, I mean, if, Pastor Chris, I share news with you today. Not the best of news for the Shepherd family. If the, happened to be a tractor hit the side of our brand new house today and came through a bathroom, no joke, what, 2 hours ago. I mean, not the best of news, okay? It's not raining, so we're doing okay, all right? We might have to use some of your bathrooms for a little while, you know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, you know, when I look at that, I'm thinking, oh, it's a brand new house, oh, it's this. I go in and show Pastor Chris. We're both sitting there, I'm stressing out, and this. I'm just here to tell you, look, it's a house. It's sheetrock. It'll be fixed. Throw the siding back up. Big deal. Compared to men and women in other countries that are sneaking into the Lord's house and opening the hymn book and singing, whispering, because they're afraid of their government. I think I'm going to be okay. I think my life's all right. You see, Paul's warning, what it begins to show us, is that there are those in our life that they're going to warn us. There are those in our life that, I showed a book last week, if you'd like to see it again, I still got another copy in my office, of those who have run the race before, that we see this warning. I'm not quite to Paul's wreck yet, but I did say it, so my apology. But Paul's warning is truly for you and I to look at and to understand that we do have the Word of God. We do have those in our life that are going to warn us. Now look at verse number 11. Watch. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. You see, the crew ignored the warning here. They look at Paul. They look at him. He's this low life. He's this prisoner. He's real, to be honest with you, he is this nobody. It's no big deal. We didn't listen to him. The crew totally ignored the warning. You see, oftentimes, the world looks at Christians. They think, it's the same. I mean, they give up three services a week. They literally drive and they go to church. For not once, not just at Easter, not just at Christmas. We're talking about like three times every single week they go to church. They're crazy. Not everything that we do makes sense to the world. I mean, they go in there, they open it up, they're all singing, they just believe in God, they're always happy and joyful, even if it's hard times. I mean, look, it's weird, it's this. Understand, the world thinks at times that we are foolish. Counsel someone, ask Miss Kim, counsel someone who has never been saved before. What they think of Christianity, they think, no. In fact, that they have a poor perception of what you and I believe. It was Time magazine that said, and I quote, "Christians are poorly educated and easily influenced." That's what the world thinks about you and I. Now, I'm going to get happy here in a moment. Everybody under their mask is like, this is awful. Okay, we'll conclude at, I promise, another 17 minutes. It's going to be fantastic. You're going to love it, okay? The sad thing is that you and I know more than the lost world. Think about that. Well, no, I met this really smart guy. He's really intelligent. He's doctor, PhD, so-and-so, and he knows this. Yeah, I understand. The world knows a lot of facts, but Christians know how it all ends, friend. We already know what's going to take place. We already know, as we saw 2 weeks ago, you and I from this book, we understand we won. We win. In the very end, we get to spend an eternity with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. We know how it ends. Amazing thing today is, though, that we are now in a society, especially as we came into last year, that we now have Christians that are relying more on doctors, relying more on Facebook, relying more on Fox News, relying more on CNN than they are the very Word of God. Friend, may you and I consider our source. Consider that, okay, so we've got all this, we got all this. Yeah, okay, I understand. But do you know and realize that you and I have the book of Revelation in here? That what is taking place globally, I'm not talking about just social distancing or masks. No. We've got to put all that aside for a minute. We've got to look at the Middle East. We've got to look at what's taking place with Russia. We've got to look at what's taking place with Iran and Israel. We've got to look at what's taking place. And when we do, it should not shock you and I. Why? Because we already know in the very end, he's coming back for you and I. Let me encourage you. It's not going to be very long. I know that all of us have said, and I remember my grandparents, Carrie, you remember we were just talking about this the other day, your grandpa saying, and her grandpa is 87, I think, so right there. He's the evangelist Larry Clayton, still traveling the world, preaching all over. And I remember Pastor Defoe that at 87, you know, probably in his late 70s when I met him, he would say, I think the Lord's coming back this year. That was 10 years ago. Do you remember your parents saying, ah, kids, I'm just telling you, probably not going to see your high school graduation. He's coming back. And some of you that lived in the antediluvian period, you're like, it's been a little while. Do you know that he is closer than he has ever been? And we are seeing all the signs and wonders take place right before our eyes. And yet we'll go home tonight, we'll turn on CBS or ABC, and we will worry ourselves into the ground when all we have to do is to get into the Word of God and realize we don't have to value what the world values. We just need to value what Jesus values. And friend, when you and I do that, we are going to listen to the right sources. Look at verse number 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, verse number 12, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is the haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest and northwest. Now they're headed about 40 miles away, and this, because they ignored Paul's warning, is going to be a decision that they will regret. Now, let's watch this very carefully. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And there are those who have lived their life, maybe as a teenager, and they ignored the warning of their parents. They ignored the warning of their pastor. They ignored the warning of their youth pastor. They ignored the warning of grandpa or grandma. And they headed into the storm, and they came out on the other side, and they had scars from the storms. They weathered the storm, but to be honest with you, it shows in their life and on their body. And maybe some decisions that they are going to have to live with the consequences for the rest of their life. Comprehend this. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If we've gone through the storm before and we've seen our fair share, and man, we came through and we should have listened, but we didn't. And now we went through the storm, and man, for a while we were a drug addict. For a while we were in prison. For a while we were drinking around. It cost me 2 divorces, this, that. You know, I'm just telling you, I'm just not worth anything anymore. Friend, you are so far from wrong. No, Jesus Christ loves you just the same. You can be used just the same. He wants you. But friend, don't hide your shipwreck. Use it as Paul did to help those who are coming behind you. Let's use it. I'll tell you, the more we grow, and I asked Nicole, Pastor Dan, I said, how many cards do we have left? She said, we have sent out every card. That means this, every invite card we have gone through, I don't even know how many of those invite cards. I mean, I praise the Lord for that. But let's just say 10% of those that we invite come. This place is going to be packed Easter. It's going to be packed. Even without all you backsliders who are going on vacation. I'm just kidding. It's like, oh, how did he know? Facebook, baby. I see it. I said, this place should be packed. You know what that means? There's going to be people walking through those back doors who have been through their fair share of storms. And they don't look like this. They don't act. They don't talk. You might get into a discussion and a cuss word comes out. What do we do? Kick them out. Get them out of here. Nope. They're welcome right here. Bring them in. Well, they came in and they had this on. They had this and they had this scar and they had this. And they've been through it. Can you believe? And I even heard from another pastor in the area. You know what? Who cares? Shut it down. Let's bring them in. Get them saved, baptized, discipled, and used of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a warning that came. But then we see, as we see up here, number three, Paul's wreck. We see number three, Paul's wreck. Look at verse number 13 with me. Now watch very carefully. This is really amazing if you look at it. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing fence, they sailed close by Crete. Now look at verse number 13 and watch. The south wind blew softly, as it so often does. Supposing they had obtained their purpose, before we judge so often as you and I do. Now look up here and watch. You and I have to beware of the south wind that blows softly. You see, in our culture, too many are being lured away by the south wind. It's all too easy to take seemingly favorable circumstances as the deciding factor in a matter of guidance and ignore the sterner counsel of the Word of God. There are many today that are not listening to God's will for their life because circumstances seem to align with what they want out of life. You see, Paul warned these men, if we take this journey, it's going to end in shipwreck. The men said, let's listen to somebody else. The other guys say, nope, we could just keep sailing on. They begin to sail on, and the south wind begins to blow softly. Ooh, it feels good. Oh, the circumstances are just right. Oh, Paul, what a fool you are. Look at us now. Look at look at the sail, and look how beautiful it is. And look at the skies. Look at the blues. This is just aligning perfect for us. May I tell you, friend, there are many today that are basing, and for the last 3 years, I worked with college students all around the country, and there are many a college students who are basing what they want for their life based on a soft south wind. It seems like everything's just falling into place, and boy, it just seems like, boy, I've got this accreditation, and boy, I'm just telling you, I've worked hard in high school, and this just fell in place, and so, well, the soft wind sure is blowing, so this must be God's will. Can I tell you, friend, look, I am not one of these that's going to preach that everybody is called to ministry, but I will tell you this, God did not stop calling pastors. God did not stop calling missionaries. God did not stop calling those to full-time ministry, friend. I fully believe in a world, in a realm where there's only nearly 8 billion people living, that God didn't say, well, we got enough people, let's just stop calling them. I guess we'll do with what we got. No, friend, I'm telling you what's happening. We're listening to a soft wind of parents. We're listening to a soft wind of, well, this kind of works for me. We're listening to a soft south wind of, here's what I want and my dreams and my aspirations. And friend, may I say this evening, it's not up to the wind. It's not up to chance. It's not up to just a wide open door. What you and I have to get back to is, what does God want for my life? What does he want for my life? It ought to drive us crazy as grandparents and parents to walk up to a kid and say, hey, what do you want to do with your life? And for a kid that has spent the last 12 years in homeschool or a Christian school to say, well, here's what I really want to do with my life. What about a kid that just grew up with all the Bible verses they've learned? What about a kid that's grown up with everything they've memorized from God's Word? What about a kid that's had the godly teachers? What about the kid that would stop and say, you know, I've been praying. I think God's moving in my life too. Be a police officer. Go into the military. Go into construction. Be a nurse. Be a dietitian. But wouldn't it serve us much better to hear, I've been praying about, I've been seeking advice? No, you know what we hear today? Well, mom really wants me to. Moms, dads, here's a warning for all of us. God gave us that kid to raise and then to give back to him. When they're 22, they're not ours. Well, they live in my house. And I get all that. You understand, as a mature group of believers this evening, God has given us the opportunity to raise them. They're not ours. They are his. Well, I don't like that mindset at all. Well, let me ask you, are you saved? The Bible says that you are bought with a price. We're not ours. We're not for ourselves. We don't own us. God does. It's his will. It's his way. Well, Pastor, well, I just want to ask you then, how'd you know that it was God's will or God's will for you to come to Indiana? How about that, Brother Jim? How'd you know that? How'd you just tell me? I'll tell you how. By counsel and advice and seeking God's face through prayer and fasting. And God said, green light, that's where you're going. Friend, understand. This is not a step by anybody says. I don't know any stories this evening. Remember, I've only been here for 3 months. It's not like, well, 6 months ago, I told so-and-so, and they must have gone to pastor. I'm going through it verse by verse. How in the world could you blame me for that? Let's listen to the Holy Spirit for a minute. Pastor, you're really stepping on my toes. No, it might be the Holy Spirit that's taking the Word of God like a two-edged sword, and finally we're opening up and repenting and valuing what Christ values and exalting Christ again, getting ready for revival. So maybe it's not the pastor that's stepping on your toes. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit that's piercing your heart with the Word of God. That's where we've got to get to. Oh, it's a soft wind. Ooh, it's so good. Oh, life is so great and it's so grand. Does God open doors? Without a doubt. Again, I don't want anybody walking out here saying, well, pastor just wants every kid in the youth group to be a missionary and a pastor. Well, let me ask you this. That's not what I'm saying at all, but I'm just asking you, what if that happened? Would that be so bad? Be amazing. For all those of you with gray hair, and to be honest with you, I'm getting some gray hair, so I'm joining you very quickly. All those of you with gray hair, I think you comprehend a lot better than our teenagers how fast life is. Brother Harvey, would you not agree, even at our age, how fast life is going? Don't you feel like, I mean, except for 2020, that was the longest year of our life. But besides that year, all the other years, is it not just, it is flying by. Yeah, yeah. It's but a vapor. Or he said, our life is like one little grain of sand. Eternity is the beach. May we constantly be praying for our young people here at Cross Point. Don't be discouraged by this message tonight. Well, I guess I'm dried out. I guess I'm done. I guess I'll be put out to pasture. I guess that's it. No, what you and I have to be doing with our time now is investing in the next generation. Because if God calls Pastor Shepherd home this week, I don't want to get to him and be like, oh my goodness, I should put time in. I should have done this. My goodness, I just wasted the last 2 years. And I really, no, when I get to heaven, I want to say, God, I gave him my all. I've run the race. I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Friend, may you and I be very careful. God gives opportunities. Sure. Now listen, and I'm almost done. I want to remind you, Satan will give opportunities as well. What a warning. Well, God will give opportunities if we seek him. I want to remind myself, Carrie, both of us included, God is after every one of the kids that are out of this auditorium. But friend, God is after every one of our marriages in this room tonight. Well, I've been married for 40 years. Congratulations, he wants it more. He wants to destroy our testimony. Everything's going good. I mean, it's 401k. I'm going to hit the golf course. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be able to go to the games. And I'm going to, oh, the soft wind. This is south. And, you know, so funny, God, I never even prayed about that, but it's just all falling in place. Be careful. I didn't even get through the story, but we're going to find out. Ta-da. Paul does wreck here in just a couple verses. Doesn't end good, okay? But come back next Wednesday and we'll finish this out. But understand this. Just because everything's going great, be careful. The verse says here, and I'm going to be done, but watch. The verse says here, I love this. It says, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. They thought, it's going good. It's not. Paul's warning. Paul's wreck. A turbulent journey.